Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Henrico CTE Now. I'm Marianne McGee, along with
Mike Roberts.
Mike, it is hard to believe that we are actually in May.
We're getting really close to the finish line for the school year.
We are getting super close to the finish line. It's been a great school year. We have covered lots of cool activities, our Life Ready Expo, Career Ready Rodeo. It's just been one fun thing after another in CTE.
It's definitely been full. We've locked, you know, with all the made, you know, all the major events out of the way, the only thing left is closing up for the school year.
Let me tell you, commencement, and we've got students who are happily awaiting that moment. They've got great things ahead of them. So it's actually very fitting that we're going to wind down a bit of our incredible school year with an incredible instructor who was voted the Henrico County Public Schools Teacher of the Year for 2024. We're going to meet this very special teacher plus two other super special guests in just a moment. But reminding everybody, you can always catch up with us and connect with us through our social media handle, which is Henrico CTE. You can connect with us on YouTube, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, X, at that handle, Henrico CTE. Of course, listeners, you guys know CTE stands for Career and Technical Education, and you can get some really good specific information about our programs and events by visiting HenricoCTE.com. Mike, not only do we have this fantastic episode for listeners, we have some really great previous editions of the show. How can people enjoy?
We have, we're in our sixth season. We're doing 25 episodes a season, so that there's plenty to listen to with the summer coming up. That's lots of opportunities to do some binge listening to the program. So you can find out how you can prepare to get ready for the career that you would like to move into. So check out our episodes. You can find us on all the major podcast apps. If you're listening to us, you've already found us, but please tell your friends about it and your family so that they can get a listen in too. There's always somebody that we always want to add more and more of listeners. We have an international or global audience. Wasn't intended, but that's what's happened. So all of our people that are listening to us outside of the United States, welcome.
That's right. Bienvenidos. I need to learn a lot more languages for welcome. So we have got great episodes for you. And today we are super excited because we have Mrs. Jenny Poor, outstanding early childhood education teacher at the ACE Center at Highland Springs. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
And we have along with her Maya, one of her star students. Maya, you also serve in another important capacity at the ACE Center. We're going to talk about that and how you help spread the word about early childhood education in just a moment.
Perfect.
Yes, very good. And we have LaRonda Mason, Educational Specialist for Family and Consumer Sciences for the Division of Workforce and Career Development and the Program Director for the Springer Preschool Academy. So our listeners, you may be wondering, Springer Preschool Academy, what's that? Well, you are about to learn because our early childhood program is absolutely hands-on, Mike. Like all of our programs, these are students getting actual experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and the Springer Academy is a phenomenal example of that. But I want to kick this off because, Jenny, I knew you were going to be too modest to talk about why you were the Teacher of the Year. So we wanted to make sure LaRonda Mason could be here so she could brag on you. You were never going to tell us really why you were Teacher of the Year, but we knew LaRonda could fill this in. LaRonda, tell us a little bit about why Jenny is such an outstanding educator in your mind.
I think that, well, first of all, good morning and thank you for having us. I think that Jenny exemplifies a great educator with her patience, with her students. One unique thing about her position is that in the past, it used to be half of the day was spent with the preschoolers and the other half was spent with the high schoolers. So one thing that I always joke about with the the teachers in our building is that they have to flip the hat. Like one day it is strictly preschool mode, and then you'll hear, "Hi, boys and girls, like welcome, like turn on your listening ears." And then the next day they have to flip it, like, "Okay, y'all, let's get to business. Like we have to finish this up." So it's kind of like a Jekyll and Hyde, but in a very good way. Just her patience with her students, the ability to adapt to both age groups, which is something that's required of our teachers. But I feel like a lot of people would have a hard time doing that. I know even with myself, I'm just like, give me the high schoolers or give me the babies, you know. So you know, for someone who's like me, I think that this is like the perfect position. She's done a great job since she's been here with us.
I love that. And I think what you're describing is not something most people kind of think of, that you really do have these two pretty different audiences of students.
Yes.
And they're all developing, right? But but they're developing in a different kind of place. Maya, in your words, why is Ms. Poor such an awesome teacher?
Ms. Poor is such an awesome teacher because she really listens to what her students really need and want. Ms. Poor has really helped me a lot myself. And then with also us being seniors in the early childhood education program, we are also going to college and trying to figure out how we're going to live life on in the future. But Ms. Ford has been so supportive of just everything that we have. And also with the preschoolers, phenomenal, phenomenal.
Mike, when I listen to Maya, what she describes is what so many of our students in CTE talk about, is how instrumental their teachers are in helping them kind of figure out that next step.
Yeah, the instructors for all of our programs, they're not just instructors. They're somebody who's come from the industry. And so they've got the background, they've got the experience, and they're able to share that with the students. And I think that's what's important.
Can I add something
Absolutely.
Else really quick?
Absolutely.
Another thing, like Jenny actually was a fax teacher. So sometimes like when you're speaking of people that came from industry, mm-hmm. I love the fact that she actually had the background in family and consumer science. And then also she's worked in elementary school with preschool and elementary school. So she
awesome.
Truly, you know, had the facts background, and then she also had the preschool background. So it was like a perfect marriage for her to join our team.
Perfect job.
So Jenny, I'm excited to kind of hear this because I love when we have our instructors on kind of following a little bit of the trajectory of their career and their life. And you were at one point, you were a little shining bright example like Maya of a future ahead of you. Tell us a little bit about your journey into this role now. When did you feel like teaching was going to be your calling?
I knew very, very early on that teaching was what I wanted to do. I was the first grader that asked my teacher to send me him extra worksheets or anything like that. I had my easel, my chalkboard. I would play with my stuffed animals anytime friends would come over, cousins, all we played school. We always played school. When I went to high school, we had the service learning opportunity that I did my junior and senior year. And I worked at Reams Road Elementary in Chesterfield and got to help out there. And that was just solidified that I knew I wanted to do early childhood education. So I went to college, got my bachelor's in early childhood education, got my master's in curriculum and instruction. And then I moved to Grundy, Virginia, which is in Buchanan County, and worked there as a long-term sub for 3 years. It was a wonderful culture shock, getting to experience students that were much different than what I had been around, a community that was much different than what I had been around. But it was wonderful. I wouldn't take it back for anything. Then I moved to Henrico and applied for early childhood position and or elementary in general. And I remember someone from HR called me and she said, "Hey, we've got a lot of applicants for early childhood elementary positions, but I really like your resume. I like your credentials. Would you be willing to teach facts?" And at the time, I was like, "I don't know what facts is."
Family and consumer science,
yes,
right?
Family and consumer science. And so we talked about it. We looked through all of my paperwork and ended up getting me certified to also teach family and consumer science. So I taught at Fairfield Middle School Family and Consumer Science for 3 years. And then I just knew I wanted to go back to the babies. So I applied for the early childhood education program through the county preschool. Got hired there and worked there for 5 or 6 years. And then Dr. Crowder, who was my first principal assistant principal at Fairfield, said, "Hey, I've got an opportunity that I think you should apply for. You have experience with older kids and younger kids. Why don't you check it out and see if it's something you'd want to apply for?" So I did, and I was like, you know, I could go for a change. I had also been mentoring teachers, new teachers, and I really loved mentoring them as well. And so I thought this would be an awesome connection to mentor high school students who want to be teachers and then still get to work with the little ones. So I checked it out and applied and was thankful that I was able to get the position. And ever since then, I mean, I absolutely love it. I love being able to mentor teachers or even students that want to not go into teaching. A lot of our students actually don't want to do teaching. A lot of them want to do psychology or pediatric nursing.
Therapist.
Yes, occupational therapy. We have a few occupational therapists. But what I try to explain to them is that even if you don't want to be a teacher, we are teaching you skills of how to work with children, any child, mm-hmm. That you can take to your next career and implement into what you want to do for your chosen career.
That's wonderful. Maya, I heard you pipe in with occupational therapy.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about what that is and what drew you to that.
What really drew me to wanting to be an occupational therapist is because I've already worked at the preschool. When I first came to the preschool, I wanted to be a pediatrician. Then I said, all of those years of school, I don't know. But with occupational therapy, I'll be able to work with kids one-on-one and enhance their fine motor skills, their gross motor skills, and whatever skills that I can help them with. And I really like that. And even with me teaching at the preschool, I try to hit on all different skills.
So this, you feel like you're kind of getting a good foundation to
yes.
go in a few different directions. And while you're in school, because it sounds like this means you need additional schooling,
yes.
you can be working at a fantastic early childhood center and still be in school. I mean, LaRonda, I think that's one of the great things about mm-hmm. our programs is mm-hmm. that students can kind of do these dual pathways.
Absolutely.
They can be in school and or they can be working.
Yes. Absolutely.
And one great thing about the early childhood education program is we are partnered with J. Sergeant Reynolds. Mm-hmm. So our students, if they take both years of our program and are dual enrolled for both years, they will graduate with a career study certificate in early childhood education from J. Sergeant Reynolds.
So that's an extra.
Yes.
That's an extra bonus. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Maya is one of our students that will graduate with a career study certificate already in early childhood education.
Fantastic. Yeah, so you have college credits. You basically have the associate degree level career study certificate already.
Yes.
Maya, that's awesome.
She's phenomenal.
You.
Yes. Yes.
That's great. Mike, the dual enrollment program really gives students a huge step up. While they are at our ACE centers, mm-hmm. they can really reach out even further and get primed for their next move.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people don't realize is how many programs at the ACE Center provide dual enrollment or providing college credits for students to get that heads up that they're not going to get necessarily from anything else. So I think it's awesome.
And the fact that they're getting it so early.
Right.
You know, like just even in my own experience and talking to people that have graduated from high school and, hey, Miss Mason, you know, what are you doing now? And, well, I'm trying everything. Everybody's always trying. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, have you looked at the community college? You know, have
right.
you looked at adult education? You know, so just constantly, you know, giving them different avenues. Like, you can still reach your goal, even though you're a postgraduate. But I love the fact when I see that our high school students actually take advantage of that and that they're not one of those students that are trying at 25 years old to still get it together.
Right.
You know, that they get it or listen at the opportunities and not be afraid of tackling, you know, it's one class at a time. I was like, the next thing you know, you're done, you know. So I really just appreciate the student that takes the opportunity, that tackles it, and they're like so far ahead of people, you know, when they finish high school.
Isn't there also an additional, besides the college credits, there's a certification that's also available to the students?
Second year, they take the paraprofessional certification. Mm-hmm. So if they pass that, they can not only get college credit for that certification, but it really helps them in the workforce.
Yeah, and then with that parapro, like we have a lot of students, even outside of the early childhood education program, the students that are in the comprehensive schools that are enrolled in the Educators Rising, well, that's the actual student organization, but the Teachers for Tomorrow curriculum.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
A lot of those students that also take the paraprofessional, they can come back during the summer and work as instructional assistants. So that is one of the requirements that are needed to be able to work in the county as an instructional assistant. You have to pass the paraprofessional exam. And so we offer that opportunity also.
But it sounds like for the dual enrollment piece, that's really structured to be manageable. I mean, it's a stretch goal, but it's structured to be manageable. LaRonda, I really like what you're saying about, you know, taking it one class at a time and not hearing college credits and panicking and thinking there's
yes,
no way.
Right, exactly.
Because there really is a way. I mean, Maya, what was the your secret sauce? How did you do all of this? What was the way that you did it to be successful?
I would really like to thank all of my teachers, because with me, sometimes I try to be perfect, but they have taught me that it's okay to not be perfect. And as long as you get your work done in a timely manner and you're here on time and you're ready to go, and that has really carried me throughout the year. And also with the assistance of just all of the loving and caring friends and other high schoolers in the ECE program.
Well, I've got to brag on you for a minute, Ms. Maya, because
yes.
You are also a little award-winning person we have at this table. Mike and I happen to be at the ACE Center Highland Springs Senior Awards Ceremony, and your name got called much more than once to come up for an award.
Yes.
So it doesn't surprise me that you strive for perfection, but you're absolutely right. It's okay to be kind of in the learning mode. And Maya, I know you will be heading off to class, but I do want to ask you this. You help spread the good word about early childhood education. Tell us about your other role that you have for our school system in CTE.
Well, I am also a career ambassador for the early childhood education program. I go to elementary and middle schools and present a presentation of what I do there and tell them about the opportunities, what they can come into the future possibly.
You've been at a bunch of different schools, and I've had a chance to see you at one or two, and you really do connect with the little kids.
Mm-hmm. She's fantastic.
I really
yes.
do.
They love her.
Just a natural.
And I want to ask a little bit about that, because like, there's some people who I just think have a way of connecting with children in a way that the children aren't being talked down to. They're not being, but they're just connecting with them. Jenny, do you find that that's a skill that people, that you can kind of foster in some folks? Are people just kind of born with that? What do you think about that?
It's a hard question, because I feel like it really is a combination. Maya is a natural. A lot of our students are naturals, but some do take a little bit more coaching about what's appropriate to say in front of students, how you speak to students, the tone of your voice, not necessarily what you're saying, but how you're saying things to mm-hmm. the children, making things positive. So instead of saying, don't do that, giving them a positive alternative instead of making everything so negative. So little
techniques.
Changes, yes. techniques help, but you know, people like Maya, natural, she's got it.
Well, Maya, we want to thank you for stopping by the podcast. We're still going to continue our conversation, but we know you've got great things ahead of you. You've got the skill and the will to reach your goal, and so congratulations to you for all of your great work.
Thank you, and thank you guys for having me.
Thanks, Maya. See you in a little bit.
See you in a little bit, Ms. Ford.
Jenny, I want to talk also a little bit about the pathways that students might have. You mentioned this, that not all of your students are thinking that they're going to be early childhood educators. What are the different kinds of pathways that students can go down using what they've learned here for their next step?
A lot of careers that involve children, one of the basic things you need to know is how to work with them. You need to know about child development. You need to know what's appropriate. Not all children fall into the norm, but you need to know what the norm is so you're able to identify students that might be excelling or students that may be falling behind, and we need to, you know, help identify and get them caught up to where they're supposed to be. So anything from working at a doctor's office to child psychology, occupational therapist, physical therapy, anything that students want to do that involve children, I try to remind them that we are going to be able to give you that stepping stone, that base knowledge of best practices, developmentally appropriate practices, of what to use. I think last year or 2 years ago, I had a student who wanted to be a pediatric nurse. And so we changed it to, well, how are you going to, instead of setting up a classroom to be developmentally appropriate and welcoming, how would you set up your doctor's office to welcome children in? So although our focus is early childhood education, I try to still, if I know a student wants to go into a specific field, how can I take what I'm teaching you and make it relevant to what you want to do in the future? So instead of creating her classroom, she created what she would want her doctor's office to look like, engaging things for students to do, welcoming colors, calm music, things that we talk about in direct and direct guidance that you can use outside of just early childhood education.
That is really fantastic. I mean, I think, Mike, one of the, and LaRonda, I want to have you kind of weigh in here too, because the Springer Preschool Academy is an actual daycare center. And so students aren't just kind of theoretically talking about children. They're really working with kids in the same way that our masonry students are out working on a house build. I mean, this is real stuff they're doing.
Yeah, from day one.
Tell us a little bit about that, LaRonda. How does the academy work? How do parents and little ones get connected or apply to be a part of the academy?
Sure. Most of our families that we have are like repeat families. They've had their older children come through the program. We have a wait list. So typically, it is like a 2.5 year turnaround time before we would actually see said child. So parents will usually call from the hospital.
Yes, that's me. Twice. Called from the hospital. Texting.
Yes. So wow. What we pretty much, so it is a benefit for teachers that work in the eastern part of the county. So with that being said, they can call. We just ask the child's name, the child's birthday, gender, so we can put them on the list. And so it's like a running list. And then usually when that 2 years comes around and we're selecting for the following school year, one of the first questions that we ask, are you still working, one, for Henrico County? Two, are you still working in an East End school?
Mm-hmm.
And so if those questions are yes, we go through the paperwork and whatnot. So HR does know about us so that they, you know, let people know that are signing contracts to work in the East End that, you know, if you have a young family, the downside is it is like a 2 year turnaround time.
Right.
So if you have someone that already has a 3 year old, like the probability of them getting in probably wouldn't work. But if you're looking to start a family and now you know that, you know, we're an opportunity that could happen. So usually when the kids come, you know, we go through an orientation. Prior to COVID, we did the orientations in person, and then when we started, we had the COVID, we started doing it online or just like a virtual. So kids come day one, the high school students will come day one, and it's rocking and rolling. Like, we it's funny to watch the growth of these the kiddos, because on day one when they're coming, they're attached to the thigh, the toe, the ankle of the moms. They don't want to get out of the car. They're a little nervous. They're scared. And then you just kind of watch their progression. And with that progression, it's just like, Mom, I'm good. Bye. You know,
half the time they don't even get a bye.
Right.
See you later.
Yes.
They come running in.
That's which makes my heart warm, because it's like, I know that our teachers are doing what they're supposed to do. They're treating them the way that they're supposed to be treated.
And the students.
Yes. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. I just had a parent who recently reached out to me. And she was just like, I just love... I don't know if I could say a student's name, but so-and-so, I just want to do something for her, you know, for Teacher Appreciation Week, for the student.
Yes.
So our parents definitely, you know, one thing in the beginning I always say, I'm like, we are not Miniland. We are not the Goddard. We are a training facility. We are training students. Your child that you're signing up to come to us, there are labs.
There are guinea pigs.
So our high school students are learning how to work with them, with the guidance of our instructional aides that are in the classrooms and also our phenomenal teachers. So with that being said, you know, the high schoolers are learning. You're going to have some, as Ms. Poore said earlier, that decide, I don't know if I want to work with kids. And you know what? I'll take that all day. I'd rather you at 16 or 17 realize that this is not what you want to do versus 36. And you're like,
right.
I thought I wanted to do this.
Yes.
Or
I don't.
After a 4-year degree, you decide, I don't want to do this. You know, so I love the opportunity for all of our A-Center programs for students to get that early introduction, the real life working experience, as our students do on day one of coming into the center, not knowing where to put mats or how to put mats or how far apart the mats are supposed to be, or how to not stand over the child and talk to them, but you know, you're going to have to squat down eye level, look at them, so they're not intimidated by how tall you are. And just from day one, like letting them know why we do the things that we do, how the child's perspective is from what they're seeing and hearing, and then still being able to be gentle and help them with, you know, getting ready to go to sleep and not having their favorite toy with them to snuggle with. And, you know, just kind of, okay, we're in big boy school now, you know, so, but still keeping it gentle and just the communication with parents and, you know, how to talk to parents, whether it's a good thing or we had a difficult day today. So there's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn. And I think even for us, there's situations that come up that, you know, we kind of have to talk through. And, you know, it's not always easy talking to parents about difficult situations. But, you know, we have to do those things too. So.
And we have awesome parents. I mean, just phenomenal parents this year. Mm-hmm. Every year we have phenomenal parents. Really good ones.
I mean, Mike, when I hear that, LaRonda, when you were talking, the thing I'm hearing in my mind is highly skilled. Our CTE students are highly skilled, whether it is having a courageous conversation with a parent on a difficult day for their toddler, or at a work site having to think through something difficult. Highly skilled.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And one of the things, like, you know, over the years we've had a name change because we were Springer Daycare, and it didn't really sit well, because I'm like, you know, when I look at all the things that our students are doing and all of the things that our teachers are doing, we're not babysitting,
right?
You know, and then when I have parents that come back and say, oh, let me just tell you, he's in second grade and he's in gifted, or he's in kindergarten or she's in kindergarten and they're trying to skip them, or he's already reading and I'm just like, oh, I expected that. Like, I saw what was happening in this classroom.
Yes.
You know?
So it's truly an academy.
It truly is.
And they get so much one-on-one attention.
Yes, because of our high schoolers being in there. Yeah.
Yes. And so one of the biggest complaints that I hear from parents is they go to kindergarten and they're like, where is everybody? What do you mean I'm in a classroom with just one teacher? Mm-hmm. I'm not used to that. I'm used to being in a classroom with a bunch of people, and I can go to anybody and I can get that one-on-one attention. But on the flip side, as a student, preschool student, our environment sometimes doesn't fit everyone because it can be very stimulating.
Absolutely.
You're talking a different teacher every other day. You're talking four different groups of students that come on a two-week rotation. Mm-hmm. So they are constantly dealing with change, mm-hmm. rollover in the classroom, which can be very difficult for students who need that consistency. Mm-hmm. But usually by the second semester, everyone knows everybody, the kids know all of the students, and there's that fear isn't there anymore.
True.
To me, that is just what's so incredible, that at the end of the year, look at how much everybody has learned.
Grown.
I mean,
yes.
from the little ones to our A Center students, their knowledge level from August and September to May and June is got to be extraordinary from how they've changed. Mike, I think of one of the little students in carpentry, and she said, you know, I just could never even hammer a nail. Now I'm like hammering, and it's so great to see that change and that development.
Yes.
It's that hands-on experience that they get in all the programs. This isn't sitting at a desk every day and looking at the whiteboard or watching a video. It's they're getting, and they're not, it's not just the labs. It's their actual real world experiences. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, where else are they going to get it?
And one thing I was going to say that I love about the programs is the level of confidence that it instills in these young people, that I was afraid of that.
Mm.
But just staying true to it and showing up every day, it just builds their confidence. Even with the high schoolers, I'm gonna go to this wall over here and, you know, Miss Lambert's gonna have to call me over here because I don't know what to do, you know? And in her spirit, here, let me show you, you know.
Right.
So just pushing the envelope with the students and just, you know, equipping them with confidence that you can do this. Yes.
And I think that's the great thing about the CTE is you're going to engage. There is no one at the house building project who's not working.
Right.
There is no one in Mrs. Poor's class who's not engaging.
Absolutely.
You don't get to check out and simply exist in a classroom. That is absolutely not okay, and not in any single classroom.
Nope, all hands on deck.
You are going to engage.
All hands
on deck. And the front of our building is getting renovated right now, and watching those students in the electricity class, carpentry class, masonry class,
yes,
come over, and I mean, I'm blown away when I peek into the room. I'm like, oh my gosh, y'all did all of this. It is just phenomenal that the students are, you know, the teachers there guiding, directing, but it is all the students doing the work.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see the finished product because they have started off doing a phenomenal job over there.
I think, Jenny, one of the things I was watching them yesterday, and to watch the carpentry class, and there was a student that was cutting the 2x4 for framing to frame out like the new workroom area. But it was a female student who was on the ladder and fitting and hammering the piece, the smaller piece that was cut into place. I was like, you go, girl.
our young ladies in all the programs in the past, I mean, I've been here for 10 years, and in the past 5 years, there's been an explosion of young ladies getting into the different, what would be considered non-traditional for a female role.
Yes.
And they are killing it. Yes. They're doing a great job.
They are.
I love that too. And Jenny, I'm sure it's conversely, you have some young men who are like, I want to teach.
Yes.
I want to teach early childhood education, and everybody is welcome to explore that and give that a shot.
Yes. And I even, a few years ago, had a student who wanted to teach high school English. And I'm like, okay, you know, this is early childhood. And he's like, yeah, but you're going to teach me how to teach, right? Absolutely. Mm. I'm going to show you how to write a lesson plan. I'm going to show you how to implement it. I'm going to show you direct guidance, indirect guidance, and we're going to get you going. And I think he's in his third year of college now, going toward his English degree.
It's that early exposure.
Yes.
Early exposure. That is fantastic. And listeners, if you are living in Henrico County, we've talked about this on a few different episodes, but make sure that when you have the opportunity to have your young person, your middle schooler, thinking about what their program options are. Remember that we have summer career camps. We hold those during the summer. We have exploratory opportunities for you to come to our Life Ready Expo, see students, ask questions. Our career ambassadors are out there. And of course, you can also always visit henricocte.com. Mike, you've got a plethora of great information out there, don't you?
We've got descriptions of all the programs. You know, whether you're middle school, high school, you have an opportunity to take those programs at your local high school or at the ACE centers. We've got videos and photographs and information on all the social media about what all the students are doing, and just seeing them hands-on getting it done. Doesn't matter what program they're in, they're getting those experiences that they're just not going to get anywhere else, and they're getting it here in high school before they make that college decision, before they make that career decision, so they can figure out, is this the path I want to take? Or they find out, well, hey, I didn't know there was even that path. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to take that direction. Mm-hmm. So in having those, the ability to see all that and experience all that is so important for these young students, and I love working here because of it.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. Yes. So listeners, if you have a little person like Jenny in your life who's asking for extra worksheets at 6 years old, then you want to make sure that you are checking out our options, whether that's early childhood education or our teacher apprenticeship program. There are opportunities for you. Jenny and LaRonda, thank you so much. Jenny, congratulations on a fabulous honor. Just want to say this to everybody. When Jenny Poor won Henrico County Public Schools Teacher of the Year, when I tell you she beat out some extraordinary competition, we're not kidding, because yes, all of our teachers, I think, are fantastic. And so for Jenny to absolutely rise to the top of all programs, this isn't just for career and technical education, mm-hmm, every teacher that was considered for Henrico Teacher of the Year, Miss Poor took the top prize, everybody. Yes. So yes, we are very, very proud to have her in career and technical education, and can't wait to see what she does with her students, including young Maya. So yes, congratulations to everyone. We are going to wrap it up, but just a reminder to connect with us through social. Henrico CTE is that handle. That means you can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, X, TikTok at the handle Henrico CTE for a deep dive of what's happening. Make sure you visit henricocte.com. For Mike Roberts and our entire team in the Division of Workforce and Career Development, thanks for listening, and we will catch you on the next edition of Henrico CTE Now.